What is it you said to the kid? The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very rough, mean place. And no matter how tough you think you are, it'll always bring you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You or nobody ain't never gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. If you know what you're worth, go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hit.
We're the School of Rock. I'm the Rocketeer.
The Rock of who?
Well, it's called Tron.
It's called the Third Man.
It's called the Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss my ass!
He was known as the Glimmer Man.
Looking for the army of the 12 monkeys.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
He say you bread runner.
Tell him I'm eating.
These drug cartels represent a clear and present danger.
And this year's Miss Congeniality.
I'd like to take his face off.
Authority is not given to you to deny the return of the king.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sounds like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
Welcome to the layer cake, sir.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Just like you on this island, Dr. Moore.
Now hear this, Goldfinger.
Code name? Thunderball.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
You are now listening to your cinema.
Thank you. Welcome to episode 98 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo of ChrisCrespo.com. Never accept any imitators, duplicators, you really, fornicators.
You really think you have any of those? Any of those three things?
Yeah, they're out there.
Highly doubt it.
They're out there. Kevin says he sees people that look like me all the time out there. These are obviously my government-issued doppelgangers trying to diffuse my influence. You know what I mean?
No.
That's Drusa Cogburn. Drew is again.
It's going.
My co-host, co-producer Drew, holding it down on mic number 2. Counting up here on episode 100 pretty soon, dude.
That all almost rhymed.
It almost rhymed?
Almost.
If I had taken the time, I could have made that into a haiku.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, almost. We're coming up on 100, only a couple weeks away. Gonna try to do something a little different with that show. It should be fun. We're gonna have to try to make sure to get you extra beers to spill because it's 100. Just so you're gonna have to.
You know what? I'll get shit face drunk before, and then I'll just spill beer all episode.
And then we'll just lay down beers in front of you. We'll cover everything in plastic,
and I'll just knock them over.
You'll just spill all the beer.
Yes,
all the beers.
Yes. We'll have to get a little kiddie pool.
Now all of a sudden, if that felt now that got creepy.
Well, no. It'll be empty.
I know, but still,
the kiddie pool will be empty.
I know.
It'll be filled with beer at the end that would be able to clean up the mess.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying now when you introduce a kiddie pool element, it just. There's only two types of situations in which kiddie pools are used. It's for like actual children to play around in a pool because they don't have one, parents are poor, or because it's filled with something other than water and adults are doing something in there they shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
Right?
Kiddie pool. Understood.
Undiscussed, underbelly, undersided, underground world of kiddie pools. That's a short film right there.
I'm pretty sure Miyake already made one.
He did? See? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Drew knows what I'm talking about.
I'm not bringing it up, but I know what you're talking about.
If you know what Drew's talking about, go ahead and tweet him at antihero419 and share.
Just remember, Miyake kiddie pool.
Hashtag Miyake kiddie pool if you know what we're talking about. That's going to be.
Yeah.
let's rat out the sickos, huh?
Yeah, might as well.
Why don't we do that? Before we get the show started, because we got a lot to talk about, it's me and Drew, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for downloading. You can email the show at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. And if you're got us on iTunes, rate us and review us, because that would help a lot. Before we start everything, somewhat of a somber note. We have to, when a titan of an industry passes, try to make note of it. Rest in peace, director Mike Nichols. More than just a director. Director, playwright, comedian. He started in comedy in his own right. This guy is an EGOT. What's an EGOT, Drew? EGOT winner.
Oh, it's the, that's what, the Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
The Grammy?
Mm-hmm.
The Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
The Tony?
Yeah, he's a winner. He's like one of 13
yeah.
people. In his film career, this is Cinema Crespity. So he started doing like comedy in the late 50s. He was part of he was like the straight man half of a comedy team with mm-hmm. Elaine May or Nichols and May is okay. what they were called, or May and Nichols. I can't remember. You know, late 50s version of Abbott and Costello sort of thing. Parlayed that into many other pursuits. He ended up directing over 20 films, ranging in quality from fantastic to like cool.
Not so much.
Like, whoa, what was this all about? But, you know, when you make over 20 movies from starting in the 60s all the way up to like 2007.
Yeah, you're going to have at least one stinker.
It's going to be in there. But these are definitely some titles you're going to remember. Let's go over a few of these really quick. He started out in 66 with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and then followed up in 67 with The Graduate.
Okay.
That's a heck of a twofer right there. That's how he started. So that's like, boom, kicking the door down. What's up, Hollywood? I'm here. You're my plaything.
For a little while, at least.
For a little while. And then he did Catch 22, The Day of the Dolphin, several films that, you know, not too well received. Bounced back a bit with Working Girl.
Okay.
Right? People really like that one. He also did Silkwood in 83 with Meryl Streep. A lot of people really like that. Biloxi Blues in 88 with Broderick and Walken, the Army boot camp.
Never saw it.
You never saw that one? Biloxi Blues is good. Regarding Henry in 91 with Harrison Ford. Wolf. Jack Nicholson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer. Mm-hmm. The Birdcage in 96.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Remember that movie, What Planet Are You From? with Gary Shandling? Where he plays like an alien come to Earth to try to see the women of Earth.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, see, no one remembers that one. You'll remember this one, though. His last two movies, Closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, man, that movie's really fucking depressing.
And then 2007, Charlie Wilson's War with T. Hanks. Speaking of which, it's coming up this week.
T. Hanksgiving.
We have to remember that T. Hanks, they have to give thanks. Like we do every year to T. Hanks for the many blessings he has bestowed upon us.
He has.
Such as The Burbs.
Yes.
And Bachelor Party.
Correct.
Thank you, T. Hanks. So everyone make sure you give thanks to T. Hanks this year as we do every year.
Happy T. Hanksgiving.
Happy T. Hanksgiving. So, yeah, you know, it's a shame Mike Nichols passed on. He has done a lot of good stuff over the years. A couple stingers. What are you going to do? He's Mike Nichols. People loved him.
And now he's dead.
So, peace out, Mike. All right. Well, that can now only bring us to the actual start of the show, in which we do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. I mean, I got to go here and do this thing, and boom. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. All right. Here we go.
This week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Oh, wait, you're ready? The Crespity Randomizer
ready.
9000? You ready?
I got a message from the future.
It came from the future?
It came from the future.
Oh, shit.
And they told me that Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
I hope it's not one that I read in this article about the movies are taken down at the end of November. Because there's a handful of them.
City Gad.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't think that was on the list. I hope. Because that's a good one.
City Again.
Surprised that hasn't come up already, because that's been on there for a while.
Yeah, I think it might have come up once or twice, maybe, already.
Has it?
I think so.
It can't have, because then I would have written about it.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
I think you have.
Let me see. I can easily check by going to my own website. Because City of God is one that's been there for a while. It's, you know what, you know what movie is get, it's on there now, but it's definitely getting ready to go.
What's that?
The same director, Fernando Marias. I can't say his name. The Constant Gardener.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one, and it's that's going to be yanked at the end of November here. There's all, like you do every month. There's a whole bunch of them coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is just taking a minute. Well, we'll just move forward. Pretend that it's. I'm pretty sure we didn't write about it. I don't know why this thing's so long. City of God is a good movie. It's intense. It's one of these movies where it's like this is really happening, you know? Because it's about the favelas in Brazil. And Vin Diesel does not show up.
No, he does not crash through them being chased by the Rock.
And then there's no, it's not that fun. It's a good movie, though. Very high energy. Still entertaining. But then it gets kind of heavy.
But very real. It's a lot. It reminds me kind of Kids.
Yeah, a much less pervy version of Kids.
Mm-hmm. Like, because there's, you know, there's this light cover story.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, things are shitty.
You are following some characters around.
And then it gets, shit gets deep real quick.
It does. It gets,
And it gets real heavy.
It's kind of like a movie where it's, instead of being a documentary, they just kind of came up with the story, but they still use, like, real people and real kids and the actual locations and stuff and... It's a heavy movie, but it's really, really good. I think I rated maybe 4 stars, maybe 5. It's like a 4.5-star movie out of 5.
Yeah, those little kids are crazy. Mm.
The younger they are, the crazier they are, too.
Yeah, no shit.
Especially when they're armed. Oof.
With giant pistols. Oof, the boy. Sizes of their heads.
There's one scene that sticks with me that scarred me. You know, it's like, man. I don't even say what it is. I just let people roll up on it. If you want to know what it is, if you've seen the movie, you want to know what it is, hit me up. I'll tell you, social media-wise. But City got good stuff. There you go. Okay. Well, hey, we got some movies to talk about, so let's get into this. The box office recap for the weekend. Drew, please tell me. You got the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Please, then if you don't mind, why don't you guide us through the top five?
At number five this week, we're starting off with Gone Girl. Made an initial $2.8 million. Total of $156.8. Budget of $61. It's been on... We're going on week 8 here on this movie.
Yeah, pretty crazy that it's 2 months out and it's still in the top 5.
Yeah.
Making another 4 or 5 million. I mean,
if you take probably all of the rest of the movies seen this week and add them together, you might come close to the number 1.
Well, yeah, that happens often when a new movie comes out, especially a big one. Even then, in the face of something like that, which we'll get to, very impressive that these movies can still make even $10 million a weekend compared to something I got, so many weeks out. But put it now 156, so that can get to 160. Definitely the number one domestic feature take for
Mr. Fincher.
So, congratulations, sir.
Coming in number four this week, Dumb and Dumber 2 made an additional $13.8 million for a total of $57.4.
Oh, boy.
It's awful.
Boy.
And it's going to continue dropping, hopefully, from word of mouth, because it is just awful.
It's not a good movie. I'm trying to warn people, trying to let you know. Definitely don't get your hopes up, don't have any expectations if you're going to see it anyway. Because there's some people who are like, well, I don't care what you say. And you know what? It is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what your mindset is at the time and what makes you laugh, hey, who knows? You might be like, that wasn't bad. I don't know what these guys are talking about.
I'll tell you this, it wasn't good.
But we didn't think it was good. We didn't think it was good. When did that come out? Last week? Check out last week's Slim and Crust piece over here, our reviews. Also, I wrote a review at chriscrespo.com.
Coming to number three this week, Interstellar made an additional $15.1 million, grand total of $120.7.
So it's looking like this one could... it's going to start losing screens now as we get closer to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be harder to get to, I mean, I don't think $200 million is going to happen. Maybe 160, 170, which would be pretty good for this time of year for a movie like this. It is an original film. The brand is Christopher Nolan.
Yes.
And to a lesser degree, Matthew McConaughey.
And to a lesser degree, Anne Hathaway.
To a smaller portion. Apparently, a lot of people hate Anne Hathaway.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. She turns off a lot of people.
Really?
But, yeah, I missed the initial wave of articles of why people hate her, but then I saw recently a new wave of articles about why do people hate her. First, the articles were like, why? This is why we hate her. And then the second wave was like, why do people hate her?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
and confused. I was like, I was not aware.
Yeah, neither was I.
I thought people liked her. She seems nice.
She's very attractive.
She hasn't done or said anything
super crazy
or pretentious or, you know, like Hollywood.
Not crazy. That I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. Weird. She's good in this. She's good.
Yeah.
She's all like, love is quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sure is.
Yeah. Let's just add those numbers up and see what you get.
Let's add the love numbers up. Love plus lust equals babies.
Correct. But those aren't numbers.
Love plus...
Nope. You're still...
X over babies equals parentheses two babies divided by money over time. Equals.
We got two equal signs now?
Death. It's a long thing. It's a whole, you know.
So what you're saying is that everything equals death.
That's how Stephen Hawking looks at it anyway, I think.
In the end, the Reaper wins.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Number two this week.
The Roan Reaper.
Big Hero 6 made an additional $20 million. Total of 135.7. Budget of 165.
My brother saw it. He said a lot of his friends saw it, and they're like, "Oh, it's really good. You should check it out." And then he went and saw it, and he was like, "Eh, it was okay."
Eh.
He didn't see anything that special about it.
Speaking of eh, not special. How about the number one movie this week? Hunger Games: Mockingjay, Part 1 of 2 of Book 3.
Of Book 3 of 4 of 8 of 12.
Weekend gross of $123 million.
Yeah, when I had that $40 million Friday, I mean, that thing was gonna pound that $100 million mark for the weekend, the biggest opening weekend of the year. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, superhero comic book fans, nerds, geekos. Katniss Everdeen
rules
the day this year for box office. And you know what? I don't even think it's the biggest opening of the series.
Probably not.
I don't think it is. But still. Damn impressive, especially considering all the other movies that came out this year. It only came out to like $80, $90 million. Huge movies that people were like super excited for.
Yeah.
But Hunger Games, which is
gets like, every time.
And then half the movie's not much even happens in that movie.
Yeah, no. Close to nothing happens in that movie, actually.
Close to nothing. They like, it's propaganda wars.
Yeah.
It's the whole movie. It's like, we got our propaganda.
They got their propaganda.
We're going to go make some. Then we're going to broadcast it. And then they're going to react.
And then there's going to be a black screen. It says, to be continued.
Dun, 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 dun. Did it say to be continued?
No, it just said. It should have.
The title again.
It might as well.
It should have said, it should have said, to be concluded. Because that's what it says at the end of Back to the Future Part 2. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, at least they did.
At least they said it's going to be ending.
We're finishing this shit. Hunger Games there. Well, they are finishing it, though. Because
thank God.
They're out of books.
Good.
You know, much to their dismay.
I'm sure somebody will write a TV spinoff.
Man, they got that J.K. Rowling. She's writing like sidequels and sequels and all this shit.
Trying to get that Harry Potter money.
Yeah, all that
money. As if she needs any more of it.
It's like the next Star Wars in terms of merchandising and money making and mass appeal. It really is.
I still don't understand why Star Wars hasn't opened their own theme park yet.
Well, now they're owned by Disney. Disney, they're getting ready to tear down a whole bunch of stuff over at the Hollywood studios.
Damn straight.
And they're going to expand their Star Wars thing into like...
I'm going to go get a job at the fucking cantina, motherfucker.
At the cantina? Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll just put
I'm gonna
you...
I'm going to be slinging food at the cantina. Cool. The Mos Eisley Cantina.
That's going to be... you're going to have to take a pay cut for that.
Probably not.
Probably.
Probably get paid more.
Nah.
The mouse pays well.
Yeah, but not for making cantina burgers. Not for making Tatooine fries with a side of Tauntaun tater tots.
Some Tauntaun tots.
Tauntaun tots. I'll take the Tauntaun tots and they come out and they're covered in sausage gravy.
Sounds awesome.
So it looks like you could open a Tauntaun and they just spilled out right onto the plate.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. There we go. See, we can do this. Disney, hire us to design your menus. We know what we're doing.
Yes.
So we saw The Hunger Games, Mockingjay.
Part 1 of 2.
Part 1 of 2. Three. Book 3. And it felt like half a movie. Felt like half a story. Not even, maybe a quarter of a story.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just set up.
Yeah.
It's like, here are the rebels. Here's the capital. let's make videos.
I guess if you didn't know, it's another one of those cases, if you haven't seen the other two movies, you're probably going to be very, very, very confused on what the fuck is going on.
As the movie started, for a couple minutes, I was like, I feel like I should have rewatched these goddamn movies, because I'm forgetting names and places. But I think I was able, so just seeing those movies once each, I was able to piece everything together for
back
the most
together,
part.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, that's right, Lenny Kravitz was in the other one, so he's not coming back. Oh,
he's dead.
Damn it, I forgot about that. I was like, oh,
poor Lenny.
That's disappointing. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman, the last movie he was working on, and it's like, oh, it's great to see this guy, but I was just sad seeing him instead of like taking in his performance. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is how he ended. Talking about the Capitol, and
it sounded like he was still stuck in his Most Wanted man accent.
Yeah, maybe he came out of that. Came out of that movie, went into this one. He was still doing the same,
I think,
kind of German thing.
I think so. For a little bit of it, at least.
It is more of him just sitting at long tables and talking to people about stratagem.
Yes.
That's a lot of this movie.
Being called Plutarch.
Being called Plutarch. A lot of people just sitting around talking stratagems.
Yes.
This is what we need to do. This is what they're doing.
Lots of gray-haired people.
Lots of gray-haired people. Nice to see Julianne Moore. Still a pretty big, like a nice size role for her as the president of District 13. Mm-hmm. Was she the president of just that district?
Yep, D13.
Okay. And
kind of like D12, but not really.
Kind of like D12, but no aliens. D12 is way cooler. Or Banlieue 13. Way more parkour than Banlieue 13. That's just a French show. Jeffrey Wright. He was wheelchair-bound computer hacker guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in the last one?
I don't remember. Maybe.
They kept referring to him, talking to him like he's been around the whole time, but I don't remember him being in the other movies. Maybe. But then again, I don't remember much of
maybe
the other.
Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't.
I remember very little of the other movies.
Yeah, anyway. Me too.
Like she kept talking to that dude Finnick,
I don't remember what he did.
And then she was like Annie, talking about Annie.
I didn't remember her at all.
I was like, I don't remember her. Why does he care about her? Does that character matter? How does that character doesn't matter?
No,
not in the movies. Anyway. Maybe they matter in the book,
perhaps.
But their significance has not been translated into movie form. So we're just stuck with scenes of them talking about Annie. Like,
who the fuck is Annie?
Like, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? You've been
hit by. You've been struck by.
We'll just let the people at home finish that one real quick. There you go. Good job, guys. We're on the same page. Yeah, you know, it's... And then Woody Harrelson's in it.
Kind of.
Elizabeth Banks is in a few scenes.
That Hemsworth chap.
Yeah, he's okay.
The Hemsworth brother.
I was talking about all the actors I like. Liam Hemsworth, I think, is that one?
Sure.
He's okay. His non-Australian generic American accent's okay.
He's the unsexy brother now.
He is the unsexy
Because brother. Now his brother is the sexiest man alive, I guess.
He's always been the unsexy brother. What are you talking about?
It's so ridiculous.
Thor. I'm talking about Thor here. Especially when Thor cycles.
He's a Norse god.
Especially when Thor cycles up to play Thor in movies. Because normally he's like, you know, a little scrawnier.
But he is.
That's how they do it, people. They use steroids, okay?
Lots of them.
Just get over it. They only do one cycle. They shoot the movie and then they're off them. And it's perfectly fine.
Relax. I mean, not really, but whatever.
No, it's fine. It's performance enhancement drugs, but they're performances of a different nature. in which case, it's perfectly A-okay.
Yeah.
I think people should be allowed to juice up any way they need to anyway.
I'm okay with
that. For whatever they need to do.
That's fine.
I mean, why are we denying the juice?
I don't know.
Well, not the juice. That's bad.
You want to do a cycle, Chris?
See, if I did a cycle, would that just make me even fatter somehow because I'm not working out or anything?
I don't know.
Like, what happens if you do steroids and
don't
work
out? Interesting question. Let's find out, Chris. I'll do a cycling workout. You do a cycling, you won't work out.
Wait, what? I don't know about this. I think I talked myself into a bad corner here.
I think it'll be fun.
A bad corner that leads to extreme diarrhea and perhaps some bitch tits.
And maybe a little bit of acne as well.
Oof. Back knee. Butt knee. I don't want to end up looking like a Meatloaf in Fight Club. His name is Robert Paulson. What were we talking about? Hunger Games Mock J Part. J Law is, you know, she's all right, I guess.
She's okay.
You know, it's a strong female character type stuff with the Hunger Games from the previous movies. But outside of that, I mean, what? So she's, sometimes she's angry and sometimes she's like upset.
That's about it.
And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And she has to fight and her sister and her sister's cat.
Yeah, but that
frantically.
That ended up being pretty, spoiler alert, that ended up being pretty simple. Like, run inside. Oh, through. Okay, come back. Shh. Okay, back to the door.
So stupid.
Drag it out. 5, 4.
They kind of cut out stuff like that and just put the last two movies together into one.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Assholes.
It is. You got to. I have to think it for shit like that. They do. There's definitely shit in there that's stretching the movie out. It's like, oh, now we have time to sit by a riverbed and sing songs.
And watch Katniss put her head on Mr. Hemsworth's shoulder.
We have time to sit by running water twice in this goddamn movie. Once to sing a song, another time to just put your hand on his shoulder. Go, oh, look, I didn't know Jennifer Lawrence had that little mole thing. Yeah. Right there. It's kind of cute.
I know.
Yeah. It's like we could have cut that out. We could have cut out the fake drama. We could have cut half the movie and then filmed the other movie, cut out half of that movie, and then put them together.
Yes.
And then just had one okay movie in which Katniss actually has an arc. And not a quarter of an arc, in which she goes from
point A to point 8.2.
Yeah, she doesn't do. She's the same in the beginning of the movie. In the beginning, she's like, "Am I gonna be the leader of the revolution?" And then at the end of it, she's like, "I guess I am the leader. Yeah, I guess I am." But PETA's here, fucking PETA. That one kid. Oh shit! That one kid. Whatever his name is.
He's in the movie for like another 10 seconds. The whole movie.
I don't like it that much.
Yeah, very forgettable.
I was hoping he'd grow on me, you know, from movie to movie, but...
No. He wasn't that good in those Journey to the Center of the Earth movies.
I saw the first one because...
Michael Caine.
Was Michael Caine in the very first one?
I think so. Or was that the second one?
I think that was the second one. That's the second one with The Rock. The first one was accidental movie star Brendan Fraser.
Yes, you're right.
And I saw that one because that was like the widest digital 3D live action release at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first one.
I saw the second one because Michael Caine.
Fair enough. The Rock's in it too.
I mean, yeah.
And then it ended up making over $100 million. Michael That's Caine. Why they're making a Journey 3.
Michael Caine.
Oh yeah, Michael Caine. Michael Caine. He's like, rage against the dying of the light. That was more Cockney there. Kind of Australian.
Sorry, you can work on it.
I did just watch Mad Max, so it was a bit of a Mel Gibson thing going on there. So yeah, you know, Hunger Games, it's like, I don't know.
I mean, if it's your bag and you've seen the other two and you plan on seeing the last one, you kind of need the setup for it.
I think if you've seen the other ones and you like them, you're going to like this one. They're kind of... It's Francis Lawrence did the second one and this one and the next one. Francis Lawrence is a guy who did Constantine.
Yeah.
That was his first movie, I think. And I Am Legend, which is 45 minutes of a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Water for Elephants, which I saw about 10 minutes of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily bad. I had to do something. I had to go. I had to, like, take a nap or something.
Yeah.
And then The Hunger Games after that.
The first Hunger Games wasn't awful.
It wasn't awful. It was just, meh.
It just wasn't as good as Battle Royale. That's all.
Not even close. Or even The Running Man.
No.
Another progenitor of this type of movie, this type of story. Would have just rather have watched The Running Man.
I would have rather just watched Battle Royale.
How has that movie not been remade yet? A B-movie like that? A well-done, awesome, fun B-movie like that? All the movies that are getting remade now, how is The Running Man not up for one?
Seriously, I mean, they redid Rollerball.
They did Rollerball. They did Rollerball a while ago. It's almost time to do Rollerball again.
They redid... I mean, yeah. Man. You need to tell somebody to get on that shit.
Pretty crazy.
Chris.
Running Man's a good one.
You, Bill, write it.
Bill, start writing the treatment. Don't. If we tell him to do that, he might actually do it.
Exactly.
Don't waste your time.
Bill. Right. Do it. Do it. Do it.
This time, Bill, we need the security writes the things before we spend time writing it.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know what? It worked for that 50 Shades of Grey lady.
Yeah, exactly.
All they did was change some names around.
Yep.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Let's wrap up the Hunger Games discussion here.
It on DVD.
It's a DVD. If you've seen the other ones, you're a fan, and for whatever reason you're not part of this $120 million opening weekend,
catch it on DVD.
Go ahead and see it in theater. But otherwise, if you're not really like dying to see these movies, no need to go see it in theater. It's talky. It's a little slow. Very little action.
Almost no action.
Pretty much no action. So, yeah. And you've seen a good chunk of it in the trailer. You know what's funny? At one point, they show propaganda videos to their own people,
yep.
But they were just watching the trailer for the movie.
I know.
They were watching the trailer for the movie that they were in.
I know.
It was a very Spaceballsy moment.
It was kind of weird.
So there you go. Let's see what they... Oh, you know what? I don't even have it set up here. Let's see what they say on the Rotten Tomatoes. And then meanwhile, we skipped. You skipped over to one movie that I saw.
You're right, I did.
Yeah, can you look it up real quick while I pull up? Here we go. Hunger Games on Rotten Tomatoes. 67% positive reviews out of 194. So it was still pretty good. 6.4 out of 10. I'd give it more like a 5 out of 10. What about you, Drew?
Maybe a little lower.
Well, you'd go a little lower than that. Let's see what their critical consensus says. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 sets up the franchise finale with a penultimate chapter loaded with solid performances and smart political subtext, though it comes up short on the action front. I'd have to disagree with the smart political subtext. There definitely is stuff in there about propaganda and use of imagery, but it's not like you're seeing that much with it. It's not that. It's very superficial type stuff there. So, right. So, yeah, real quick, because we skipped over it by accident, but it happens. I saw The Theory of Everything, the Stephen Hawking movie, which is really not the... not exactly a Stephen Hawking biopic. It's more about the...
It's not on Box Office Mojo this week.
It's on the Bobo Mojo? Yeah, that's fine. It happens.
It's not listed at all this week as making any money anywhere.
It's not making any money anywhere. And it's not, oh, well, that's possible. So, The Theory of Everything, starring Eddie Redmayne, who is in... Les Miserables, and I'm pretty sure he's the same guy that's in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Same guy.
So he's got the weird face.
Yep.
Weird, intense face.
Yep.
But in this one, he contorted it all crazy. It looked like Stephen Hawking. Yeah. And it was he was good. You know, it was obviously a very physical performance because of, you know, he's got to show his body deteriorating because the movie starts with Hawking first getting, like, tremors in his hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way up to him, you know, being stuck in a wheelchair and
not being able to talk.
Not being able to talk and having to use the clicky thing. And it's like, hello, robot voice.
But it's an American voice.
His actual copywritten voice is used in the movie. He lent it to them, as well as a couple of props, like his actual PhD thesis.
Nice.
With his real signature on it, they used that in the movie when he had to, like, sort of defend his thesis, although mm-hmm. it really wasn't. He just showed up. They were like, chapter 1, 2, 3, it all sucks. Chapter 4, brilliant, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
It's a little harder than that, but still. Or maybe they do things differently at Cambridge, I don't know.
Perhaps.
I'm not a English scholar. I'm a dumb old American.
You are.
I went to UCF.
Very dumb.
I had some gator nuggets, and they gave me a C+.
Woohoo.
Yeah, that's how.
Yeehaw.
That's how they did things there at UCF when I was there back in the 70s. But if you wanted to see a movie about Stephen Hawking, this is more like the cliff notes of his life.
Okay.
And then they pay, like, kind of lip service to the science, the black hole stuff, his theories, the time stuff that he was working on. Like, there's some kind of clunky exposition scenes here and there about that. The movie is really about the marriage to his first wife. And it's not a surprise because it's based on one of her two memoirs about their marriage. She wrote mm-hmm. two separate memoirs.
Oh, wow.
One in the 90s when she was a little more spurned,
mm-hmm.
shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little harsher and painted Hawking as a megalomaniacal puppeteer and just an all-around bad dude. And then a second memoir came out like 8 or 9 years ago. And that one's a much more nicer portrayal of the marriage. And that's the one that they based this movie on. So, but, you know, the acting's good. Stephen Hawking, Eddie Redmayne, he's very good. And Felicity Jones plays Jane Hawking, and she does a great job. It's all about the acting in this movie, you know. It's competently directed. It looks nice. But really, it's about their marriage, which is good. It's good stuff. But then it's also, at the same time, there's some things that happen. I don't want to say exactly what happens. But,
no,
you know,
spoilers.
No spoilers. But there are some dramatic moments that kind of feel like brushed over a bit, or they don't want to get too deep into them. They let a lot of things happen off screen. It just feels very prim and proper. Like, it doesn't want to get its hands dirty, you know, mm-hmm. with some of the dirtier details. Just wants to present them real quick as they are and then move on. It's like, oh, but everything's cool. Everyone's nice. It's Stephen Hawking. We all love him, you know. But still, it was good. It was a good movie. I'd say it's like a DVD type thing. Redbox it. You know, that type of stuff. It is from the director of the documentary Man on Wire. which is fantastic, past Netflix pick of the week. It's still on the Netflix.
Such a great movie.
And he also directed Project Nim. You ever see that one?
Don't think so.
That's the one about the chimpanzee that they raise and teach it to like do some sign language and stuff.
Pardon.
It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Let's see what they said on their Rotten Tomatoes. 81% out of 124 reviews. 7.4 out of 10 average rating. I'd go like 6.75, maybe a 7. Because the acting is really good. And it is an affecting story because it's, you know, love and hardship, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Part biopic, part love story. The theory of everything rises on James Marsh's polished direction and the strength of its two leads. So there you go. All right, let's see what's coming out on that DVD this week. A bunch of movies are coming out on DVD. Redbox, people. You're going to be busy because we got The Expendables 3. It's coming out.
Wasn't that good?
We got The Giver.
Never saw it.
You thought The Expendables 3 was no good. We got The November Man coming out.
The November Man.
The November Man.
Comes pretty out. Awful, too.
As well as Step Up All In. No colon in that one.
Step up all in.
Step up all in. And then finally, it's here. It's finally here. We can finally get this done, Drew. Tyler Perry Made a Christmas.
Oh, I've been waiting for this day for a very long time.
Since February, yeah. Since the Oscars, yeah.
Almost a year.
Almost a year now. It's been built up so much. It's going to be glorious if we finally get to a...
I've got to pay what I owe, man.
You got to pay... what you owe. Smart man once said that. So that's what's coming out on DVD this week. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, a movie that I actually kind of want to see. Penguins of Madagascar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've mentioned it a few times.
I never saw the Madagascar movies, but those penguins, yeah, man.
But those penguins are funny, though.
They look pretty
just
funny.
Even in the trailers, the penguins are funny. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's not just all the jokes, all the good jokes.
It probably is.
And even the penguins trailer is pretty funny.
Also coming out this weekend, Horrible Bosses Dose.
Yes, which... could be okay. It could be good.
Comedy sequel.
Comedy sequels, I know. But 22 Jump Street gave us hope. And enough hope that even Dumb and Dumber 2 can't slash it. Because those were the Farrelly brothers. Horrible Bosses 2. Pretty sure it's the dude who did King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. Excellent documentary.
Yeah.
And then he did Horrible Bosses. And then it's this one.
So, well, we'll see.
We'll see. Oh, also coming out. You got that Babadook movie. It's Australian horror film.
Yeah, Stephen King tweeted about it.
People love it. They've been loving this movie. It played at the Florida Film Festival, but it was a sold-out show, okay. I believe. So I was like, I'm not gonna take away a seat from a ticket holder, a paying person. I'm not that kind of a dick. Plus, it's a horror film. So I wanted the reviews to come out. The reviews are out. They're quite good, so I'm actually quite interested to see, will this movie actually be scary? Or is it just more jump scares? Here we go. All right, well, let's take a break. What do you say to that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, we're going to the Crespo Disco here. I got a couple of songs from a couple of soundtracks. We got Bustin' Surfboards from the Pulp Fiction soundtrack, and then Concrete and Clay from the Rushmore soundtrack. Two great movies, two great soundtracks. I suggest checking them both out if you haven't heard them. So here we go. We'll be back with the second half of episode 98 of Cinema Crespo Disco with... Drew Sirkogward and me, Chris Crespo.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible, aka your girl topped me off. Y'all start kissing right after I dropped her off. Forget that, yo, radio. For all your movie news and reviews, check out Cinema Crespediso. Let's get it.
Sweet as roses in the morning,
and you to me
are soft as summer rain at dawn in lovely shade. That's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet
begins to crumble,
but love will never die,
because we'll see the mountains tumble
before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally.
That's the way
it's meant to be.
All around
I see the purple shades of evening,
and on the ground
shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms so tenderly. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet
begins to crumble,
but love will never die,
because we'll see the mountains crumble
before we
say goodbye.
My love and I will be in love eternally. And that's the way it's meant to be. Sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet
begins to crumble,
but love will
never die,
because we'll see
the mountains tumble
before we
say goodbye.
My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way it's meant to be.
That's the way.
That's the way it's meant to be. That's the way. That's the way. Welcome to the Questo Show.
Welcome back. Episode 98 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Gogmer and Drew.
What up, bro?
Juicy Gogmer. Doing good. Feeling good. Got a lot here on our plate for episode 98. So don't hate. That's some Crespo poetry for you right there. Hope you enjoyed that.
Pretty awful.
Hope you enjoyed that Crespo poem. It's from the heart. And also for my brain. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At AntiHair419, all over social media.
All over that social media. That includes the Snap Chisel. Right? As well as the...
all of it.
The Elo.co.
You name it, man. I'm there.
Friendster. Napster.
Nope. No Friendster.
No Napster. No GeoCities. Go to his GeoCities webpage.
I don't have one of those.
It says under construction, and there's a picture of a barricade with lights on it. Hit up the show at Twitter at Crespediso, on Facebook.com/CinemaCrespediso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespediso. You can hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Email the show, CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com. Also, we'll see you there. Email. CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com. Let's start out this week with our new favorite segment.
It's new favorite.
It's our new favorite segment.
What was our old favorite segment?
What was that thing we used to do? Our new favorite segment. Billy Dee's Death of the Movies.
Billy Dee's Death of the Movies.
So glad you made it. This is better than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Billy D writes, "What's up, guys? I had a rough time finding something to watch this week and landed on a film that's been in my Netflix queue for a little bit." There you go. It's on Netflix, people. A low-budget indie horror film called Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones? If I had known it was Mr. Jones, I would have...
Dr. Jones?
I would have had Counting Crows queued up.
Dr. Jones!
If it was Dr. Jones, I would have had the Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom short round drop pulled up. But no. Anyway, here we go. Billy writes, "Once again, this film stars no one of note. I had low expectations for this movie. Seen as low budget inevitably means found footage in horror these days. This movie went the faux documentary route as opposed to pure found footage, so I was glad for that." And Billy, editor's note, faux documentary, we call that mockumentary.
Yes.
Save the time and the word space so people know. Anyway, back to Billy. "After some meandering storytelling and avid farts, this movie eventually found its way somewhere interesting." Oh, okay. "Once they start ignoring and breaking the rules is when the movie takes off. It starts with a couple going into the woods to make a nature film, then becomes an art documentary, and finishes by slipping into a nightmarish and oftentimes thrilling third act that pays off in a unique way." I am intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
"If you're cruising Netflix looking for something and can wait until this movie figures out..." Wait. "If you are cruising Netflix looking for something and can wait until this movie figures out what it is, you won't be disappointed." So he's saying, check it out, but be patient. Give it its time to find its legs. "It also has terrifying scarecrow totem things." Did I mention the scarecrow totem things? Stay cool, Billy Lee.
Oh, man. Scarecrow totem things.
Scarecrow totem. So Mr. Jones, low budget found footage. You know, when he mentions found footage, that made me think of something I wanted to talk about. We saw... in front of the Hunger Games, Mock J, part 1 of 2 of 3 of 8, we saw the trailer that we saw a trailer for a year ago at least. Do you remember? You know which one I'm talking about?
No.
You don't know which one I'm talking about?
Nope.
You know which one I'm talking about. You don't know which one I'm talking about?
Maybe.
The kids that build the time machine and go back in time and start playing with time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember seeing that trailer like a year ago?
No, I don't.
No? Drew,
I don't.
You don't remember?
No.
Now I'm trying to remember if you were there. I don't know. I've seen so many damn movies. But yeah, that movie was made like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I saw a trailer for like a year ago at least. And it was called Welcome to Yesterday at that time. The original title was Project Almanac. They changed it to Welcome to Yesterday. Then they put the movie on the shelf for whatever reason. Don't know why. No release date. Now they showed a trailer for it. Movie coming out January 30th. Back to the original title, Project Almanac. And I don't know, Drew. I actually thought it looked pretty intriguing.
I mean, it does. It's
a fun little time travel movie.
It's time travel.
But the found footage thing, man, it's like...
it's way overdone, especially at this point in time.
So overdone. Now, it does afford them the chance of, you know, they can figure... because of the constraints of found footage, they have to find different ways to come up with cool-looking images.
Uh-huh.
So because of the found footage style, the trailer does have some shots that look pretty insane, like the way they're presented. But then for the most part, though, it's going to be a lot of people running around holding cameras and shaking the screen as people are running, and weird low angles of people that are having these conversations, but inexplicably they're recording at the same time. Found footage is pretty tiring. But
especially this day and age.
But I did think that was a pretty good trailer. It was much better than the other trailer I saw a year ago. And now I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing it. I mean, it is a January movie. It's slim pickings in January. You get a Cloverfield type movie once every like 5 years. So.
Yeah.
I'll be happy enough to take this if it's okay, if it's watchable.
Well, we'll see.
Or else most of the time, shit that comes out... you know what comes out in January is? Season of the Witch.
Ugh.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Take that.
Glad I never watched that one.
Take that, Drew. You haven't even watched it on nope. HBO?
Uh-uh.
It's like, for you, it's a perfect bad HBO movie.
Lego Movie just came out on HBO.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
What are we doing recording this? Are you watching the Lego Movie right now?
I watched Lego Movie 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago.
You watched it three times in the last month without me? Fuck you,
just a month ago. Just once. Just once without you.
Lego Batman. No.
I watched her without you yesterday, so what? I watch movies without you, Chris. It happens.
No.
I know you maybe feel slighted and maybe even a little cheated on.
I want to see...
I'm sorry, but this relationship has evolved, Chris. I watch movies with other people, damn it. I'm sorry.
I wanted to see Lego Movie again. You left me out. Where were we? Okay, so that from... From Billy D. Rage Against Twit on the Twitter.
I gotta pay what I owe.
You now hit us up.
Gotta pay what I owe.
You hit us up on email. He's using the email option. Which is an option, people. You can use it. CinemaCrestBriso@gmail.com. Let's see what he writes. He writes, yo, fellas. Japan, a wall. Protagonists who defend the wall against human-like giants. Crestwell might like the idea, but it's Shusa Kakuru down with a live-action movie based on the anime Attack on Titan. Do you know anything about Attack on Titan?
I don't think so, but I mean, if you're doing a live action of an adaptation of an anime, that's like saying you're going to do a live action Bugs Bunny movie.
And apparently there's a Japan, a wall, and a guy who defends the wall against human-like giants.
That sounds cool to me.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Never seen the anime, although now I want to check out the anime. What's it called again?
Attack on Titan. He follows up. Right, wait, there's more than 140 characters? That's pretty funny. points out that, and actually, I think I have this story pulled already, so I'll just wait till I get to that through the movie news.
Whoa.
He points us to the story where the Lego Batman movie will focus on this era of the hero's history. Let's see what that means. It's a Cinema Blend article. Batman's 75th anniversary may be nearly over, but the craze for the Caped Crusader won't be ending anytime soon. Along with co-headlining Batman vs. Superman : Dawn of Just Ice and the Just Ice League movies, Batman will be back in Lego form when Will Arnett returns to voice DC's Dark Knight in a Lego movie set for release in 2017. Let's just get to the quote here. Rest assured that every era of Batman filmmaking will be acknowledged. There have been so many interpretations of Batman, and there is so much to play with there. There are 40 versions of his origin story alone. So it looks like Phil Lord and Chris Miller are saying in the Lego Batman movie, there's going to be some campy theater of the absurd 60s Batman, some Tim Burton Batman, some Joel Schumacher Batman, and then, of course, Chris Nolan Batman. Which will be
good to me.
That'll be fun. All through the lens of the team of Lord Miller.
Which are a fucking great duo, by the way.
They're awesome. And then Will Arnett as
Will Arnett has to be he has to be Lego Batman.
He owns it now.
Got it first time.
He owns it now. So that's all from Rage Against Twit. Thanks for hitting us up on email. Email option works perfectly great, guys.
Who's that Bruce Wayne guy? He seems kinda cool.
He seems cool. That guy's cool. All right, let's see here. Where are we going next?
You know,
where
oh,
going
man.
Next? What?
Maybe we can get BoJack Lego Batman. I want BoJack Batman. I want it right now. BoJack Batman. On that shit.
They're going to have to do now in BoJack Horseman, like season 2, a Halloween episode where he dresses like Batman.
He has to. They have to do that.
People, check.
Oh! Check out BoJack Horseman on Netflix, check by the way. BoJack it's fucking Horseman hilarious.
Netflix instant watch.
BoJack
Batman. The cock, the world.
Lego BoJack Batman.
BoJack Horseman is
it's really good.
That's a really good show.
Just the intro gets me every time. I love that
it's a good
fucking
intro. It's a good intro. You know what? I love the outro. It's like I used to be 90s TV show. So yeah. Like, that's good. Juice the Cockbird versus the world. We got a sparring round this week. You are 11-6. So not bad. Not bad. Episode 100 is gonna be a little trivia heavy.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to build you up for that one.
No.
We're going to do a game we do often, but you know, we always twist it up a bit. Which made more? I give you two movies, you tell me which one made more money. But we're doing the biopic edition. Okay. I just saw Theory of Everything. That's about Stephen Hawking. So here's a whole bunch of
biopics. So it's the biopic edition?
The biopic edition. Although Stephen Hawking, physicist, I did mostly musical biopics here. All the music biopics. So here we go. I'll tell you two. You tell me which made more. Number one, Great Balls of Fire or Get On Up.
Get On Up.
Great Balls of Fire made $13 million. Get On Up, $30 million. That's correct. Number two, I'm Not There or Cadillac Records?
I'm not there.
I'm not there made $4 million. Cadillac Records, $8 million. There you go. Number two, Mozart versus Beethoven. Which made more? Immortal Beloved or Amadeus?
Amadeus.
Immortal Beloved made $9 million. Amadeus, $51 million. Very good. Number four, which made more? Tina Turner versus Selena. What's Love Got to Do with It? Or Selena?
Selena.
What's Love Got to Do with It made $39 million. Selena made $35 million. Mm. Tina Turner, yeah, Tina Turner. Number five, which made more? The Doors or The Buddy Holly Story?
Let's go with Val Kilmer and The Doors.
The Doors, $34 million. Buddy Holly, $14 million. Correct, sir, correct. Number six, which made more? Notorious or Jersey Boys?
Jersey Boys.
Notorious, $36 million. Jersey Boys, $47 million. Number seven, which made more? Ray or La Bamba?
La Bamba.
Ray made $75 million.
La Bamba did not make that much.
La Bamba made $54 million. So, here we go. Number eight, which made more? Walk the Line or Coal Miner's Daughter?
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line made $119 million. Coal Miner's Daughter, nowhere near that. $67 million. So, that's correct. Here we go. Number nine, which made more? Beyond the Sea or The Runaways?
The Runaways.
Beyond the Sea made $6 million. The Runaways, $3 million. Ooh. And finally, number 10, which made more? Bird, that's Clint Eastwood's Bird, starring Forest Whitaker. Or 24-Hour Party People, that's Michael Winterbottom's 24-Hour Party People, starring Steve Coogan.
Sure.
Which one? Bird or 24-Hour Party People?
24-Hour Party People.
Bird made $2 million. 24-Hour Party People, $1 million.
That's
not one. So let me see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10.
5 for 5.
That is 500% around these... that's passive. We're pretty lenient.
It's totally failing, Chris.
No, we're
totally failing.
We're leaning around here. On Twitter, Mr. Nadathon hits us up. First, he has a Crespo mini review. If you want to give us a mini movie review, let us know what you think about movies.
By
any movie. It doesn't matter if it's a new one or an old one. If it's something you've just seen for the first time, we'll talk about it. Hit us up on Twitter. Or, again, email us, cinemacrespo@gmail.com. Mr. Nadathon writes, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For is more of the same, but that's okay. I wanted more.
No, there you go.
Fair enough.
If that's what you're looking for, you got it.
I was a little disappointed by that movie. I think we both were.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, but Eva Green looks great naked, so. Wowzers.
Am I sweating?
Yes. Yes, you are, actually. And you're blushing as well.
And I'm blushing. Oh, Lord. It's the vapors. I have the vapors. Mr. Nadathon also writes on Twitter, with Dumb and Dumber 2 recently out, what are some other older movies you'd love to see a sequel to?
Wow, sequel.
Let me do a quick edit on that. With Dumb and Dumber 2 recently out, to which other movies would you love to see a sequel? There you go. Can't end it on a preposition. That was just hurting my brain for a second. Yeah, okay. Older movies. Well, obviously we're going to stay away from comedies.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're pretty awful. Recipe for disaster, mm-hmm. Right? Especially, I think even time. I think if you do a comedy sequel, it's got to be close to when the original comes out. You got to capitalize on it. You can't just wait. I think the longer you wait, the worse it gets.
Agreed.
So stay away from comedies because we're doing older. Sci-fi.
Doesn't have to be older.
Well, no, he specifically said older. He said, what are some other older movies to which you'd love to see a sequel?
Ooh, you know what? With Bill Cosby so hot, let's get maybe a Leonard Part 8.
Leonard Part 8! That'd be great! That would be... I'd see Leonard Part 8. He'd have to, like... He has to... There'd be a scene in which he has to, like, get information from someone.
And he drugs them.
And he drugs them.
And rapes them.
And then he goes, Zoom-a-zoom!
And then he takes out a Puddin' Pop.
Okay. Or I'd even go prequel.
Leonard Part 6?
Leonard Part 5.
No.
Actually, Leonard Part 6, so we need Leonard Part 7. We skipped 7, went to 8. Spaceballs, even though we did just say about comedies, I would still like to see Spaceballs Part 3 to search for Part 2. Because that was a sequel.
As long as they spoof the prequels in the sequel somehow.
Might as well. Now they have fodder.
If they can spoof the prequels with the movie as still a sequel, I think that would be hilarious.
I'm sure they can. They easily can.
I'd watch that.
That would be really funny. I just thought of one. Was it sci-fi? I would like to see a sequel to The Thing that uses practical effects. You know what I just read?
Ooh, that would be cool.
That would be cool,
or
right?
Or how about a... can we get a new Weird Science? I mean, it is the year 2014.
I think they were working on weren't they working on remaking that?
It's the year 2014. We have moved quite a bit technologically speaking.
Yeah, let's get some more weird science going.
Let's get some weird science going.
I do think I read somewhere.
High school dorks making hot chicks. That's I mean, that's classic right there.
That's right. That's what's that movie? Simone?
Is that movie?
Remember that one?
No.
I was going to say something, I forgot. Oh, you know what? Another movie. A sequel that they were going to make and then they didn't make it. They went another route. I would like to have seen Jaws 3 People Zero. That was the original idea for Jaws 3. The original script was Jaws 3 People Zero. It was written by the people that did Airplane and The Naked Gun.
Really?
And Police Squad.
So a Jaws spoof?
Yeah. They were given the opportunity to write a screenplay and they went comedy. And they called it Jaws 3 People Zero, and then...
We just do Giant Monster spoof. There's been a lot of Giant Monsters movies out
so
recently.
Sequelize a Giant Monster, but then spoofalize it?
No.
Spoofalize.
Yes.
We
can make fun of, giant robots fighting Godzilla.
Yeah.
Flying giant bug thing.
Can there be underwater monsters too? Because underwater monsters
can. But we're gonna have to get Godzilla scuba gear.
Godzilla's gonna be in scuba gear?
Has to be.
I like that.
It's the only way you can breathe underwater, right?
That's how he gets from continent to continent.
Yeah. Puts on the scuba gear.
Makes sense to me. Finally on Twitter at KGC24 writes, I loved Europa Report. Wonder your thoughts. I did not see Europa Report.
I thought it was...
Drew Sikogren
did. It was okay. It was something... It was different.
Yeah.
It was kind of a low-budget sci-fi movie. I mean, Charto Copley's in it.
Charto.
But I thought it was good. It was fun. It was something I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And...
That's always a good thing.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of reminds me of Interstellar a bit.
Does it?
Yeah, because it's that whole going to another planet and seeing what the fuck's going on there and woo, crazy things.
Interesting.
Yeah, I saw that last year when I took my New York trip up to see Billy Dee.
I think, still on the Netflix instant, so people can check that out. I guess I got to get around to seeing it.
Or was that 2 years ago? Good Lord, who knows? It was a long time.
I think it was last year. Because that's when you brainstormed... Tattoo Fist, the Fist logo.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that came about. All right, let's get into some movie news, run through these stories, and then get out of here so I can watch some, drink my beer and watch some mega movie. Oh, hold on a second. I got to attend to some purple business here. Let me see. I got a text message from Cool Carl. He's asking a question, so I'm just texting him back an answer.
Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is something like...
Only on Thursdays, never when it's raining.
Only on Thursdays, never when it's raining, because I'm afraid to go. What am I doing on Thursdays when it's not raining, Drew?
Exactly.
What am I doing? What's going on?
That's it's everyone else's job to figure that out. What does Chris do only on Thursdays, never when it's raining?
This is highly unprofessional, but I'm also drinking beer, so.
I'd say you are highly unprofessional, sir.
This whole operation is just...
Mm-hmm.
Almost out of my beer, actually. How's that Winter's Bite?
It's actually quite good.
Would you prefer that or the vanilla? The vanilla porter.
Actually, I think they're both... I'll give them an even score.
Those look like dark beers. Mm-hmm. Are they all dark beers in there since they're winter beers? No, there's a Hellas.
And the Shandy is light as well.
The Shandy.
It's two darks, two lights. The vanilla porter, the cocoa black lager.
We're talking about some Line and Kugels. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm drinking my New Belgiums. Almost out of those, though.
Yep.
Yep. Snag like a couple.
They're delicious.
Speaking of beer, hot beer.
Hot beer? I don't like hot beer. Hot beer is gross.
Oh, did I say hot beer?
Yes.
I meant hot butter beer.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure if I want warm cream soda.
Isn't that something because it's introduced to us as the cold and frozen variety? I haven't had the cold one, just the frozen
yeah.
one, which is...
quite delicious.
It's just like drinking a caramel
slushy.
It's a
caramel slushy, yeah.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, it gets my diabetes raging, but yeah. It's good. But we are here in Orlando. A lot of people, we have a lot of listeners in Florida.
Yes.
But we also have a lot of listeners in many other states.
Correct.
As well as international. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our French and UK and Australian and German listeners, because we have multiple listeners over there checking in. We appreciate you guys. They want to know. We take... I just wanted it because it is Tea Hanksgiving.
It is Tea Hanksgiving.
So I want to give Tea Hanks to the fact that we live right down the road from Universal Orlando.
Yes.
And there's some pretty sweet shit going on down there that other people would like die
for, yes.
To be able to check out. We've already roamed Diagon Alley. And,
for a little bit.
For a little bit, you know, and then we tried to ninja our way around. And they caught us in our ninja outfits.
And we may or may not have been thrown out of Universal
and we
Studios.
We may or may not have been thrown out. Driven off the premises. That may not have happened, but it also may have happened.
It may have.
But you know what? I may have gone back 2 weeks later.
You may have.
I may not have. Where were we? So they're serving, coming up now, with a hot butter beer, which is something that they've actually done before. And my point was that there are other people around the world. They want to know what we think about this kind of stuff, right?
I don't know.
So I think we got it. We're going to have to go now. We're going to have to. I'm sorry, Drew.
I can't afford that.
No. Well, like I said, we ninja our way around these places, man. When was the last time any of us paid for anything for any of those parks?
So we got to ninja our way in?
We're going to have to pay for the butter beer.
Well, yeah.
As long as we ninja our way in.
I mean, if we can ninja our way in, I'm down.
All right, so I'll work on getting some...
You work on getting those ninja passes.
I'll work on getting the ninja suits.
Yep. Get that ninja pass.
See, now the thing is, I can find you a ninja suit all day. It's finding me the right ninja suit. I got to go to where they did the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah, I was about to say, we have to take you to Beverly Hills Ninja place. Get you ninja suit.
And then whenever they put me in the suit, they make me like do poses, but they're like,
but still, I'm gonna
push the blood to your face.
I'm gonna have to get a tall ninja suit. Sound like there are Asians that are freaking 6 foot walking around.
What are you talking about? There's a pipeline of 7 foot Chinamen that you're
China, not Japan, my friend.
They're all the same. You don't have that many Asian listeners.
You better hope not.
No, we don't. I see the numbers. China, I think they put a block on us.
Yes, because...
We only had a handful of downloads in Japan.
Asia is the only place where Asian people come from.
Well, if we're talking to Asian Americans, they're Americans. We're all united in our dumb Americanism. Right?
Sure.
We are. We're Americans. When does Americans... This is more of a CCN thing. When, when can we as Americans be accepted as... Now, we're a race of people. In which case...
A race of dummies?
In which case... When people say, oh, Americans are fat and stupid, et cetera, what that becomes stereotyping and racial hatred. We are a people.
But we are fat and stupid.
But I'm saying we are a people. That's still a generality. If we're fat and stupid, how do we have NBA players and Olympic athletes? And when I go out downtown, I see gorgeous, fit people all the time. I see people in gyms all the time. Just because I walk past the people on the treadmill eating a donut doesn't mean they're fat.
Hey, guess what? I do the same thing, Chris, but I'm not fat.
Right, okay. You're not fat. I'm not.
But I still walk by people on treadmills eating jelly donuts.
So what I'm saying is it's a stereotype. It's hate speech. It's racism to be hating on Americans. Even though we all apparently look the same.
I'm not sure if it's racism.
When do we become a race of people? We are Americans. We were born here. This is our culture. People refer to us as one. Just like the French, Chinese, Japanese, et cetera, et cetera.
The French aren't a race of people, though.
The
French are just a bunch of silly-speaking white people.
But they're French, though. That's how we have French-Americans, and they have their own culture. Oh, don't mix me up with the Italians or the Polish, et cetera, because I'm French.
Well, because Polacks are stupid.
Oh, that's Drew said that. You can email him at antihero419@hotmail.com.
I'm allowed to say this. My mother's maiden name is Migulski.
Oh, he's Polish. Never mind. Stop the hate email. He's Polish. It's cool. That's why he sleeps with a pan of pierogies every night. That makes sense.
Yes.
I had no idea. That's why he did that.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly why.
Remember when that one homeless guy rolled him on you and started talking to you in Spanish?
That happens. And then, that has happened my entire life, Chris.
And then you never told him, like, I'm not Spanish. You just nodded. You're like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's happened my entire life. When I get a tan, I look like a Mexican. Or Guatemalan. Or, name a South American or Latin base of people. That's what I look like.
You look like you're from Paraguay.
I could. Yeah, totally.
If you tan.
Except I don't speak Spanish. Not even a lick. I know kitchen Spanish. Cerveza. Like I said, kitchen Spanish.
What's that over there with the toilet?
Baño.
Come on, you're...
Agua.
Arepa, you're good to go.
And yeah, arepas are delicious.
Hot butter beer. We're still talking about hot butter beer.
I don't know. We got to go get some, apparently.
We got to go get some. Oh, you know what?
I mean, if I just take some cream soda and stick it in the microwave, that's the same thing, right?
The flavor is very similar to regular butter beer. It has that same frothy foam on top. It's the foam on top that makes it so amazing. The foam is chilled while the drink itself is warm.
Can I get a boozy one?
No, you have to bring your own booze.
I'm going to have to bring my own booze then.
It's alcohol free.
But I think I need to bring some booze.
But it is a warm drink, so
I'll bring some whiskey.
It'll be available at Diagon Alley, at the Leaky Cauldron, the Hopping Pot, and the Fountain of Fair Fortune in Hogsmeade. It'll be available at the Three Broomsticks in the Hogshead Pub. Oh, okay, Hero is what I was looking for. Delicious new addition, alluring flavors of butterscotch and shortbread. Syria.
Okay. Like I said, if I stick cream soda in the microwave, it's the same thing, right?
I guess, dude. I don't know. Slash film.
Slash.
Reporting via Hollywood Reporter. Better Call Saul, coming in February.
Yeah.
The prequel / sidequel / sequel to Breaking Bad. Yes. All these things at the same time, starring Bob Odenkirk. It will debut in February.
February.
It will follow the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
So it'll air at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And it's going to be that Sunday, and then that very next Monday, episode 2. So they're going to give you a two-night premiere event.
Pow!
For Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad.
I mean, it'll be interesting.
I think so.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
It may or may not be good. We'll see.
I mean, a lot of the same creative people are behind it. The guy who created the Saul character, he's the showrunner. But Vince Gilligan, he's still, like, producing and helping to write some things and doing some things here and there.
Making sure that tone is there.
Yeah. But, you know, the way I read it, I remember them describing it as, if Breaking Bad was 75% drama, 25% humor, Better Call Saul is going to flip that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go mostly comedy, a little bit of drama.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the nonsense that Saul had to deal with on a daily basis is pretty ridiculous.
That turned him into the Saul Goodman that we know and love?
Exactly.
For sure. So The Fault in Our Stars, that movie that just came out?
Cancer comedy.
Cancer comedy is 50-50.
Cancer love story.
Cancer teen love story. The director of that movie, Josh Boone, he's been tapped to create the new version, this time for theaters, of Stephen King's The Stand.
Okay.
News has come out that The Stand originally planned to be one movie.
Seriously.
Four films. Now, The Stand is a 1,000-plus page book.
I know.
And was turned into a 4 to 6 hour miniseries twice, I think, on TV, right? So, four movies, it can be done. It is a huge story with tons of characters.
Yeah.
And if people don't know, The Stand, which is still a pretty timely story, it's about, you know, an apocalypse of sorts. A disease breaks out and a lot of people die and humanity is trying to survive. And they're making it into a four. A super quadrilogy of Stand movies. So, I don't know, I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it'll be...
The Stand's a good story.
We'll see.
if it's made well with the right budget, that's another thing. They alluded to the fact, this guy Josh Boone alluded to the fact that they're going to have an insane cast for this movie, that the characters are going to be brought to life by the most amazing of actors. Paul Greengrass, director of the second and third Bourne movies, as well as United 93, The Green Zone, you know, politically charged films like that. Mm-hmm. He's got another project on his plate. He just attached to be the director, attached himself as a director to the new 1984.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
A Paul Greengrass shaky cam version of George Orwell's 1984.
Big Brother is watching.
So he'll work Matt Damon in there somehow.
Of course.
Or maybe he'll get T. Hanks in there for Captain Phillips, right? They worked together on Captain Phillips. Again, we give thanks to T. Hanks. For Captain Phillips and these other blessings he has bestowed upon us, such as Toy Story and Money Pit. I think it'll be good. Are they going to have to retitle it? Are they going to have to change? Can it still be 1984? The movies can come out in like 2016, 2017.
It's still called 1984.
It's still called 1984, and it takes place in the dystopian future set in 1984.
Yeah,
I guess we're all adults, right?
Yeah.
We can wrap our brain around that.
Mm-hmm. Just seems a little, I mean, I hope so.
Just seems a little strange. Channing Tatum's hot, yo. And by that, I mean he's extremely good looking and with abs to die for.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that,
is you
very successful?
Well, Chris would like to be on top of that, is what you're saying.
Oh, I thought you were alluding to me, Channing Tatum being me, which guys are like, whoa, what am I doing here?
No, I was alluding to you being on top of Channing Tatum.
Oh, gosh, I wish. I can't score that. Are you kidding me? So out of my league. So Channing Tatum to make his directorial debut.
What?
Yeah, crazy, huh? This guy's got a ambition. It says here he is looking like he's got a movie to direct. It's actually, he's going to co-direct it with his creative partner, Reed Carolyn. And it's something called Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock. Published in 2013, Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock centers on a troubled teen who brings a gun to school with plans to shoot his best friend and then himself. But first, he spends a day saying his goodbyes to the people who matter most to him. Should Tatum sign on, he'll play a caring teacher who steps in. Actually, for over a year, James Ponsoldt was on board to direct it. Drew, James Ponsoldt is the fellow who did The Spectacular Now.
Okay. Which is a great movie.
So I guess that was maybe sort of the direction they were going for. But now it's looking like Channing Tatum may co-direct this movie.
Mr. Tatum!
This teen drama about a dude bringing a gun to school. That could be interesting. We'll see how it goes.
How do you know it's not the gun that's bringing the dude to school?
Look at that. But before we get there, he's going to appear in a Coen Brothers movie, a Wachowski siblings movie, and a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yes,
as
is.
Well, he may even get his X-Men Gambit movie in theaters by then. So.
God, that's going to be so awful.
Busy dude. You know what? It will be awful, but now, at this point, I'm willing to bet him...
He'll be good.
He won't be the worst part of it.
No. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those X-Men origin type deals.
Yeah, even if he has like a kind of a wonky Cajun accent, he's like, Sean. Like, what? Then he's, even then,
yeah,
the shit around him is going to be even worse. But anyway. But also on the flip side, as much as I like Channing Tatum now, I don't know if he's good enough to elevate something like that.
We'll see.
With Foxcatcher, people love him in Foxcatcher. But anyway. Ridley Scott is talking Prometheus 2 stuff. Let's just skip straight to his quote for Prometheus 2. This is what he's talking to the Australian, which is, I assume, something from Australia. Prometheus 2 is, quote, fresh and getting away from gods and dragons and shit. This is a weird quote, okay? Prometheus 2 is getting away from gods and dragons and shit. If I see one more dragon, I'm going to shoot myself, stop the dragons. Rather than the dragon, Scott describes his original alien as, quote, the definitive dragon. So he's sick of them.
But he's going to make a definitive.
But he's calling this one the definitive dragon. And he's a motherfucker. The alien's real, which is why it's probably one of the scariest monsters in film history. So with Prometheus 2, what I'm trying to do is reintroduce a fresher form of alien in the third act. His next one promises to be very different.
Okay.
So that's where he's going with Alien. Prometheus 2 is moving forward. It looks like he's trying to go more sounds like maybe even going more the horror route again. Back to horror. Prometheus was more sci-fi.
Totally.
But also, it's pretty apparent still that he doesn't want to retread the same ground with Alien. Yeah, he still wants to move forward, but within the universe, I don't know. You also mentioned that interview real quick, that a passing note about how the Blade Runner script is done, and it's very good. But of course, he's going to say it's good.
Right? Of course.
He's like, oh, we finished the Blade Runner script, and it's terrible. Amazing. And it's terrible. I can't wait to film it for you guys. It's going to be the worst. He's not going to say that.
I can't wait.
J.J. Abrams.
The J.J. Abrams.
I mention his name because I'm looking at a picture of him, but this article has nothing to do with him. Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer. There's rumors abounding about the debut of the first moving images, promotional-wise. The first trailer, first marketing thing. There's conflicting rumors.
Conflicting.
It seems like someone got some bad information, and it's almost like Disney and Lucasfilm are trying to rout out the moles and the spies and shit, right? But apparently, apparently, the Star Wars Force Awakens trailer will play in front of The Hobbit, the Battle of the Five Armies. Or maybe it won't.
Okay.
Also, in response to that rumor, apparently Disney has, quote, bigger plans for debuting the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Don't know what that could mean. Now, they did shoot some stuff with the IMAX cameras. Maybe it's like, here's like a 6-10 minute, you know, you can get a ticket to like a 10 minute preview of the movie in the IMAX, you know, something like that. They did that with Guardians of the Galaxy. Remember they played scenes of the Dark Knight in front of I Am Legend.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that. Maybe they're working on something like that.
Perhaps. And which, because what garbage movie are we gonna have to see in IMAX just to see a fucking trailer?
It might be The Hobbit. It might be. I just had to finish that beer. Okay, here we go. There's a World War II movie starring Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
Looking for a director. They may have found one for this World War II movie, which is going to be called Hacksaw Ridge, which is the true story of Desmond T. Doss, a U.S. military doctor who refuses to kill patients badly injured in battle. As a result, he was the first conscientious objector to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. That would be Andrew Garfield. The director may be the madman himself. Mad Max himself. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson hasn't directed a movie since Apocalypto 2006.
Yeah.
Which is a good, damn good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Watch it pretty recently again on the IFC channel or some shit. It ended up, I was like, hey, it's sucking me in. It's good.
Yeah.
Braveheart, obviously, is, you know, it's a crazy movie.
It's Braveheart.
It's Braveheart. He's Mel Gibson. Sure, he's anti-Semitic.
But, sure, he's crazy.
But it's not like his movies are anti-Semitic, are they?
Maybe a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe upon closer examination. Well, actually, Passion of the Christ, people argue Passion of Christ is quite anti-Semitic.
Well, someone's got to be the bad guy.
You know, it's like Bill Cosby. He was in the Uptown Saturday Night, which is a great movie. It's not like that movie raped any ladies. It's not like Ghost Dad drugged some people. Ghost Dad might have drugged some people.
Ghost Dad definitely did. Maybe even so did Leonard Part 6. He might have.
There's that scene where he's wearing the ballet shoes.
Yeah. I wonder how he got him.
That's the only thing I remember. Zoolander 2 has been in the works for a while. Bensler still, you know, it's his baby, writing, directing, starring, etc., yeah, etc. But now it looks like we have some actual forward momentum on Zoolander 2 happening, because they just cast an actual person in the movie. Someone just signed on to be in it. Penelope Cruz. Now I know we're all, the first thing when you hear comedy, the first person you think of is Penelope Cruz. I'm sure. I guarantee you this has nothing to do with the fact that Bensler would like to sleep with her or see her in various states of undress.
Correct.
Or maybe that's all it has. Now, back in 2011, the last time Ben Stiller mentioned anything to do with this movie, he said that the script, and this was 3 years ago, but he said, it's 10 years later, and most of it is set in Europe. It's basically Derek and Hansel. Though the last movie ended on a happy note, a lot of things have happened in the meantime. Their lives have changed and not really relevant anymore. It's a new world for them. Will Ferrell is written into the script and he expressed interest in doing it. I think Mugatu is an integral part of the Zoolander story, so yes, he features in a big way. So expect Will Ferrell to come back, as well as how can he turn down the money?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Zoolander 2, yeah, I'd see Zoolander 2. I really like Zoolander.
It took me a long time to like Zoolander.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Why? You just sort of like, eh, fuck this movie at first?
Yeah, it just didn't get me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, upon subsequent viewings, many, many years later, I was like, oh, that's why this is funny.
It's got some of that satire going for it. I mean, that happens, you know, with movies all the time. The very, very first time I saw Big Lebowski, I didn't get it right away. But you know what happened? So I had Big Lebowski. We got it on bootleg VHS. Uh-huh. Back in the day, this is how I used to get my bootleg movies, in the 90s, right? I had a relative who worked on the Wall Street, the floor, the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
And, you know, every so often, a person that worked there, this person would show up with a briefcase. And they open up the briefcase and it's full of VHSs. Yes. And he had a list of movies, he or she, I'm not going to say gender-wise, it was a lady. She had a list of movies and it was like $5, you know, you get whatever movie you want. And then, of course, you know, for $20 you get five, or, you know, she ran deals and shit like that. So I saw a bunch of movies that way. And I remember he brought over Big Lebowski. We watched it. And I was like, eh, I don't really get it. But then, like a week or two later, it was raining outside. It was a weekend. I was stuck inside. And I didn't even know why, but I just put it back on and I watched it again.
You're like, oh.
I was like, oh, this is actually not bad. And then for whatever reason, I kept watching it. This really shitty VHS cam copy of this movie. And I eventually fell in love with it.
Yeah.
That shit happens, man. On the flip side, you all watch a movie like it the first time around, go back and watch it later, and be like,
yeah,
this isn't working for me. This is a tub of shit. This is a kiddie pool full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being forced into it by some Japanese dude's gross foot.
Yeah, yeah. You gave it away, by the way.
Hashtag. What was the hashtag? Miyake kiddie pool. Well, now we know the name of the show. Miyake kiddie pool. Gross. Where are we at? We're about an hour 30. Yeah, sure. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Gotta crack over that bottle of Sriracha Ace, Brooklyn Brewery. 7.7% alcohol. So hopefully I'll have the show posted before we finish the bottle.
I highly doubt that.
Or else then it might not get posted until tomorrow.
So be it.
We're doing a CCN on Wednesday.
Are we?
That's what's scheduled.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know what we're gonna talk about.
Sweet.
But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Drew Cogburn, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Let me see. Let me give you one of these. I'll give you one of... Thank you. Thank you.
No, I'll give you one of these.
Oh, he gave me one of these. In a finger form. That makes you... What does that make you?
I don't know. You tell me. What does that make me?
Tell Drew what that makes them at antihero419 at Twitter and Elo and Snapchat. And ladies, Snapchat your titties to him. I swear to God, he doesn't show them to me. All the titty pics he keeps to himself.
I do.
So feel free
Why would I show you that shit? That's for me, bro.
That's for him. That's for him.
If you want titty pics, you gotta give him your goddamn self.
I'm not on that snap chisel. Snap chisel. Fuck those guys. Anyway. All right, so that's the end of the show. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes. It helps us a lot. Email the show at cinemacrosspiso@gmail.com, and we're out. Check 1, 2. How's it going? Welcome to the show. Episode something something or other. It is time to do the thing. We got a cat. Drew's got a cat. Where are my levels? Here are my levels. We can bring those up just a bit. Here we go. Bringing me up. How's it going? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Episode 98 of Cinema Crespediso. How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? All right. That's pretty good. Let's see you there, Drew. Let's see you. Oh, wow. You're just terrible at this. At least you got it out of the way early.
I am awful at this, aren't I? I'm just horribly awful at this. No good whatsoever.
Ooh, we did record that. We recorded Drew. We did record it. That's good. Because it didn't happen during the show, but we did record Drew's now almost weekly spilling of the beer. This time just got it done before we actually started. But I recorded it, so we'll put this at the very end. I think those levels are good.